song tonight. Beautiful song. And what a great truth. I tell you, as humans, we are prone to remember every fault and every failure of everyone else. But I am so thankful that Almighty God remembers our sin against us no more. And praise the Lord for that. They're buried in the deepest sea. Amen. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Jude this evening. Jude, and just the one chapter, so hopefully you can find it there. And we're walking our way through this epistle as we consider just a couple of things, just by way of announcement. Again, if you're a member, regular attender here at FBT, and you have medical credentials and or training, if you'd see Miss Anita and have her aware of your abilities there, that would be a great blessing and a help to us here in the ministry, as on occasion there are things that arise that we would need help with. Jude, we are walking our way through this epistle. We're in verses 8 through 14. I'm going to hone in on one verse tonight, but we'll read the entire text. I want to recall to your memory verse number 4. We walked through those opening verses and considered a number of things in contending for the faith. Look with me at verse number 4, because this is really what we're talking about, as Jude gives us advice and warning about certain individuals. The Bible says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Then he gives us the challenge to remember. We looked at that last Sunday night. Remember three different groups of people. Remember the children of Israel and a number of folks from the children of Israel that were disobedient to Almighty God, and how God brought judgment upon them for their rebellion. Then he calls them to remember the angelic host that rebelled against God and followed after Lucifer, and they were cast out of heaven. They kept not their first estate. And then the third group he refers to as Sodom and Gomorrah. And they all had an opportunity to get or stay right, and they chose to rebel. And so God warns us and draws us to that point of remembering. Now we go to verse number 8. And I want to read verses 8 through 14. Again, we'll come back and spend our time in verse number 8. But the Bible says, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.' But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." So we find a very clear description of these individuals, and we want to walk through these characteristics from this passage. Jude is giving us a series of examples to tell us about these false teachers. It's going to be a process of explaining their behavior and then giving examples of these types of what these types of individuals are like and how they act out in their livelihood and in their activity. There's a parallel passage to this in 2 Peter chapter 2, and it is apparent that Peter and Jude had the same burden for the church. Much of what they wrote under the inspiration of God is very similar. And you might make note of that in your notes tonight. Go back and look at that at some point in time in your devotions this week, and just consider Jude's chapter and then also 2 Peter chapter 2. The word calls these false teachers dreamers, and one commentator said this: their doctrines were the fruits of mere imagination, foolish vagaries and fancies. And I want you to look at these characteristics, and I actually think that the wisdom from these characteristics would help us in more ways than just that of the false teachers or those that would seek to creep in unaware. Would you notice these characteristics with me tonight as we walk through them here in verse number 8 and kind of begin a look at all of these characteristics in the verses that are to follow? Number 1 tonight, notice with me in verse number 8, the very first phrase: likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. They defile the flesh. They pollute themselves, or they give indulgence to corrupt passions. They contaminate themselves with sin. They contaminate themselves with sin. Hold your finger here in Jude, and I'm actually going to have you turn back to 2 Peter chapter 2 and just read a couple of verses as we go through this passage, and then I'll draw your attention to other passages as well. 2 Peter chapter 2, look at verse number 10. 2 Peter 2, verse number 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. A very similar verse to what we have here in Jude in verse number 8 and the nature of these false teachers. The Bible says they walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Now turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to dive into this passage deeper than we would typically dive, because we're going to go past some of those opening verses as we reflect on what happens when men reject the truth of their Creator. Watch down here in verse number 25. If you're there in Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 25. The Bible says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, again, make special note of that. They changed the truth of God into a lie. We are living in a society where men call evil good and good evil, and men and women stand in a pulpit of some kind of supposed Christian ministry and proclaim that this is the truth of God, when they know full well that they're lying the whole time. This is the predominant look. The Bible says they change the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Verse number 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then again, we have this list there, much like we have a list in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and Galatians chapter 5, and it speaks as to the wickedness of the flesh. This is the defilement of the flesh, contaminating themselves. Go with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. This is the Lord Jesus Christ giving us further indication of these kinds of preachers and speakers. Mark chapter 7. The overriding message here in this passage is things which defile come from within. And in verse number 20, if you'll follow there with me, Mark chapter 7, verse number 20. And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within." The Bible says in Jeremiah, I believe it, this is off the top of my head, I believe it's Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceptively wicked. Who can know it?" That's the challenge for us as we deal with men that are not redeemed. They're living after the flesh. I'm no longer shocked by anything that takes place in the world today. I'm shocked, if you would, at reading Genesis chapter 19, at reading the last chapters of the book of Judges, at what happened with depraved men and where it went in their lives. But I tell you today, I'm maybe surprised but not shocked, because mankind is walking away from its creator. And when you walk away from your creator, you are giving yourself over to absolute darkness. Darkness. It really is the point of education when we talk about educating the next generation. If we are not educating our kids in the truth, we are above all failing in teaching them what they really need to know. And so it behooves us, in whatever angle that you have chosen for training your children and helping them to learn the ABCs, at the root of all of those ABCs must be the truth of the scriptures. And there would be those that would say, "Oh, your child was in a Christian school. They must have been so sheltered." Well, the truth of the matter is, it's not the kids in Christian education or that are growing up with Christian parents that are sheltered. It's the ones that are never taught the truth about their Creator. Those are the ones that are sheltered because they never come to a full understanding that one day they'll give an account to that Creator. And so these individuals defile the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, the Bible says, "But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient." Boy, don't you wish the government that we have here in the States would just learn that one phrase? The law is not made for the righteous man, the self-disciplined man, the one that's going to naturally abide. There's no rule book at any Christian college, as I mentioned this morning. There's no rule book at Christian college for those kids that have come to seek to do right. All of those books have been created because of the volumes of times that we who grew up in education did not do right. Don't chew gum in school. Well, why do you suppose there's a rule that says don't chew gum in school? Well, some kid chewed gum in school and said, "You know, I can't swallow this because it will be with me for 7 years, so I'll take it and put it under the desk. I'll leave it in the lunchroom table," you know, or something like this. So they had to make a rule, no chewing gum in school. If we were all mindful of, you know what, it's a bad idea to take gum and swallow it. It's a bad idea to take gum and put it under the desk and leave it for next year's students, which we don't do that here. Why don't I just throw it away? You know, if we would have all been self-disciplined, the rule book would be a lot thinner. Oh, that's another message. "Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man." I have said this till I'm blue in the face about certain laws that I'm more particularly interested in. When you pass another law, the criminals are still not going to abide by it because they are criminals. "Well, that guy committed a crime. Boy, he sure looks upset about it. He committed 10 crimes. Oh, boy, he really looks worried about it. Let's pass another one." And that way he could have broken 12 laws or 15 laws or 100 laws. Our problem in the U.S. is that we don't enforce the umpteen laws that are on the books. Again, another message. I shouldn't have gotten to 1 Timothy chapter 1. All right. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Can you believe that now we need to tell? Boy, this is really going crazy. I'm so sorry. This is really going to get fun for the next point too. There are so many things that we're having to tell people in society today. Do this and don't do that, and it should absolutely come naturally to us. I was furious at the Olympics. There is absolutely no reason that we are condoning men being in the boxing ring against women. Well, and then that goes to, okay, ladies, I want to give you fair opportunity. If you want to get in a boxing match, okay, that's fine. I'm not really keen on watching women beat each other up. I just have never really enjoyed that. I might enjoy Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier beating each other up, but I've just never been a big fan of ladies doing that. But I'm especially not a big fan of now what's happening in society. And not only are we condoning it, but we're rooting for it. And this is what's interesting. The individuals that won the gold medal that have certain chromosomes that identify them as being masculine are now trying to claim that they're the victims. They're the victims in this. I don't think they're really the victims when they punched and pummeled other individuals and then won a gold medal for it. That's ridiculous. But that's where we are. They defile the flesh. Anyway, their life is a pigsty. Now, I know no one here at FBT has ever done this. I know this has never happened here. But perhaps you have a coworker, a family member, a friend, and you've heard them say this to one of their kids. I know we've never said this, but have you ever gone in? I'm sorry. Have you ever heard of someone going into their child's room and saying to them, "This place is a pigsty"? Well, you're trying to help them understand that, yeah, they've got some work to do. They've got some things to clean up. But with these people, this is not just a pigsty and some clothing needs to be picked up and put in the dirty clothes. This is a pigsty of sin. I know you enjoyed that point. They defile the flesh. That's the description here. Look at the second one. This is alliterated on my behalf just beautifully. They defile the flesh, and then let's go to the second point. They despise dominion. They despise dominion. Are you back there in Jude? Let me flip back. The Bible says this crowd defile the flesh. They despise dominion. It means that they spurn obedience to the law, both human and divine. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says they despise government. When you and I read Romans chapter 13 and what the Apostle Paul said there, he says in Romans chapter 13, in fact, I've only got a couple of verses in my notes, so let's read a little bit lengthier passage from it. Romans chapter 13, will you turn over there with me? Romans 13 and verse number 1. Doing a little bit more traveling than normal tonight, but I want you to see this. This is important. And this is not a campaign speech. I'm never going to run for, I shouldn't say never. That's dangerous. I'm not planning to run for any kind of office. Maybe sheriff when I retire from the ministry. Maybe in some small town out in Montana, I'll run for sheriff or something like that. Romans chapter 13. God is the one that ordained government. In the very early days of creation, Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 6, The Bible says that God ordained government. How did he ordain government? Well, he ordained the home. He created Adam and Eve. He created them distinctively. And he created male and female. He created the home. He brought Eve unto Adam. There's no doubt about that. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. But in Genesis chapter 9, after Noah gets off the ark, he then ordains another entity that is going to be there for the well-being of society. It's called government. And here's how he defined government. He said that if man sheds blood, by him can man's blood be shed. So if I go out and I take the life of another, God has ordained that an entity, an overseer, would then deal with that criminal. It puts us in mind all the way back to the nature of what happened with Cain. Before government was ordained, who was the judge, jury, and dealer with all of that criminal activity? It was Almighty God. And so God dealt with Cain later on. One of Cain's children or grandchildren, great-grandchildren, wherever it was in that line, he designed himself to be in absolute defiance of God. And he declared, I'm not going to have a marriage that God wants me to have. And he said, I want to let everyone know that if God judged Cain, I'm in absolute rebellion to Almighty God. And you can read that, Genesis chapter 4, I believe it is. But after coming through those things in Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 4, where God dealt directly with mankind, now God is going to ordain government, and he's going to say, yes, an entity can step up, and when man steps out of line, there is a higher power that should deal with that man or that woman that has stepped out of line. Well, we read about that then further in Romans chapter 13, and look what the Bible says. And by the way, the hard thing for us to keep in mind is that the Apostle Paul is likely writing this under the leadership of an emperor like Nero. All right? So far as I know, we're still not under someone that is that bad. Romans 13, verse number 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there's no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. So God ordained government. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they resist. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works. This goes hand in hand with what Peter said, or what Timothy said in his, or back up, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy in the epistle there. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Very simple, very straightforward. Oh, that some nation in our world would take up this verse and just follow it. That someone would arise and ascend to their throne, to their presidency, and saying, from here on, we're going to follow the dictate of Romans chapter 13 and verse number 3, and we are going to punish evil and we are going to praise good. Boy, wouldn't that be awesome. Look what the Bible says then in verse number 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Do you ever have a hard time believing that? Yes. At times. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth good. Now we go down here and the Bible says, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Pastor, do you like everybody that's been put in charge of the state house? Not necessarily, but they've been put there and I must honor them. I don't know what's going to happen in the election in November, but whoever is put there, I am called to honor them and to pray for them. And this is the challenge, to obey them. Until they step over their line. And I'm just going to tell you tonight that we are getting closer and closer and closer to a leadership mindset that is willing to step over the line of the scriptures. Peter was willing to go along with what they said to him. The apostles were willing to go along. But when it just came down to it, they said, we will obey God rather than men. I have said to you before, you as a husband and wife need to sit down and need to have some kind of conversation, and you need to discuss the things and the lines that you will not cross because you will obey God rather than men. When the day comes that they say, you cannot have services here at church anymore. Oh, that kind of thing would never happen. I point you to March and April of 2020. Now, we were able to ebb and flow because of our facilities and because of the size of our facilities. I don't think we ever got to the point where we had to say, we're going to do our own thing and so forth. I think we were able to the best of our abilities, abide by it and so forth. But I tell you what, we came up very close to the leader of our state house telling us that we cannot get together as a church. And that did happen in a number of states. And that, my friend, is very, very sobering. And you must make your choice now as to how you're going to stand if, in fact, the leadership goes against government or goes against Almighty God. Government goes against Almighty God. Now, I say all that to say I'm in favor of government. I'm thankful for our men and women that we have that serve in government and that oversee so much of what we have in the betterment of our counties and the betterment of our existence here. I'm thankful for that. It maintains order. But the ones that I'm talking about tonight, they despise dominions. They would much prefer the end of the book of Judges where every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Nobody is going to tell me what to do. But my friend, I will emphasize this to you tonight, that God honors the men who honor God-given authority. It's fascinating to me to read the story of David and Saul and to see how it is presented to David to take Saul's life and to ascend to the throne right then. And David said, I will not put forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And yet, on several occasions, Saul has tried to take a javelin and to make David a permanent fixture of the kingdom. I want to get along with government. I want to be a model citizen. I want to be someone that's praying for our legislative leaders and our executive leaders, because the truth of the matter is that it's not what political party that they're in. It's whether or not they're saved or lost, and they need Jesus Christ. If these people would come to Jesus Christ, it would overnight change the way that they would legislate. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. But the bottom line is, these individuals are not looking at it from the standpoint of, is this dictate in line with what God says we are to do? They're absolutely opposed to any kind of dominion, and they want complete anarchy. But God honors us for honoring God-given authority. Number one, they defile the flesh. Number two, they despise dominion. And then look at the third one. The Bible says they speak evil of dignities. Back in Jude, in verse number 8, they speak evil of dignities. Number three, their dialogue is wicked. Their dialogue is wicked. Right here in this verse, they defile the flesh, they despise dominion, and they speak evil of dignities. 2 Peter chapter 2, the latter part of verses 10 and 11, the Bible says they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16 through 19, the Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. How many of those are very much common in today's society? Very common in society. In a mixed crowd, I won't make this statement as it could be made, but if you have seen what they are planning for this coming week in Chicago, it is absolutely contrary to the Word of God. And again, I'm not speaking on political parties right now. I'm just telling you what they're going to be doing outside of their convention meetings. And it is atrocious to think that in the United States of America, that people that are so debauched would be given any kind of a platform. And it is absolutely filled with dialogue that is displeasing to Almighty God. Three of the seven things that the Lord hates have to do with the tongue and the use of our tongue. I think we probably should take note. The Bible says there in 2 Peter chapter 2 that not even an angel from heaven would talk this way about the devil himself. That's the point, that they would not bring a railing accusation against them before the Lord. Wow. That says a great deal. They defile the flesh, they despise dominion, and they speak evil of dignities. Can I just close with one carryover tidbit of application? Can I give a warning? You don't want these characteristics to be the characteristic of your pastor. Would we all agree? I agree. Thank you. Thank you. We're all in agreement. Amen. I pray that these are not true of my life. But let me just come right down to where we all live and just say, this is not the kind of friendship that you want. Be vigilant in the workplace with these kinds of individuals and be aware of the impact that these kind of individuals could have on your life. And when you begin to sense, you know what, this guy is consistently feeding his flesh, or this lady is consistently feeding her flesh, boy, take note of that. They defile the flesh. They despise dominion. Always be mindful of that person that just wants to throw off the shackles of any kind of rules. There are rules that help us navigate life. And I know that a lot of our young people would think to themselves, oh, the rules are so great. And I can't wait to be an adult and I don't have any more rules. Now, you know what? You never get away from them. Your heart never is settled when the blue light goes off behind your vehicle. The other day I was pulling out of my drive and an individual that we all know who lives close by me pulls up behind me and unbeknownst to me lights me up. And I thought to myself for a second, did I miss a stop sign? I was just oblivious that it was someone that I knew. And they came up and just said hello to me and had a great conversation, and I got off. But boy, I tell you what, when you see those blue lights, my heart starts racing, sweat pouring off my head, thinking to myself, how am I going to get out of this ticket, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, don't look guilty. Hide all the contraband, you know? Just a friendly, hey, how are you? Hope you have a great day. Let me just warn you, when that coworker, that neighbor, that supposed friend despises dominions, you better take note of that. If I could then go to all of the parents and just say, don't allow your children to be brought up this way. If they despise dominion at 4 and 5, what do you think they're going to think about dominion at 17 and 18? And so teaching them those important things of abiding by what the rules are, and it is funny because in my day, it was 2-1 whenever I got in trouble. It was not my mom and dad against the teacher. It was my dad and the teacher against me. Where are we today with that? Oh, my little Johnny would never do anything wrong. Well, you know what? On occasion, your little Johnny can do something wrong. And we must be alerted to the fact that if we're always trying to remove ourselves from dominion, that we're going to be challenged later on in life because the dominion is always going to be there. People might look to me and they might say, oh, he's the pastor. He has no one that he has to obey. Yes, you're right. I've just ascended to that position where I have no one that I have to obey. Are you crazy? We all have people that are over us. And we all will have them over us. And the Bible says instead of despising those dominions, we must be appreciative of that ruling entity that's seeking to discipline in our lives and to express appreciation for it. And then let me give one more. Please, men, do not let your daughters marry a guy like this. Don't let them go down a path where, well, I think the guy's pretty nice. I think it'll turn out okay once they get married. I think he'll really change and become who he should be if I just give my good graces for it. No, train your kids up in the right way. Fight the flesh. Appreciate the rules and the settings that have been given to us. And then instead of speaking with a mouth that's really full of Satan's words, a mouth that gives forth grace. And it would be better for your daughter to never get married than to marry one of these guys. In the days growing up, we'd call him an Eddie Haskell. You have to know a little bit about Leave It to Beaver to know what an Eddie Haskell is. But I pray that we'll be mindful of this kind of a person. We don't want him in the pastorate. We don't want him as our ministerial staff. We don't want that kind of an individual. The Bible warns us about them, that they creep in unawares. But to just give more specific application, boy, we must be vigilant. Because we don't want to train our children up this way. We certainly don't want them to be surrounded with friendships that are this way. And we certainly don't want to see them wind up married to an individual that is chosen this way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to walk through this section in Jude and to even compare it with what Peter said and what Paul said to Timothy. There's so much help for us in giving us insight into the ways of mankind. They've chosen to reject their Creator. They've chosen to go their own way. And they want anarchy. They want to throw off the shackles of structure and discipline. They want to say to everyone else that they can do their own thing and there'll be no consequences for it. May we be faithful in praying for the leadership of our state, faithful in praying for the leadership of our nation. We pray for all of our men and women that are in law enforcement this week that are there in Chicago. We pray that you would protect them. We pray that you'd mightily use them. Lord, we pray that each of these legislators, that if they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what political side of the aisle that they're on, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what will matter in eternity. And it would certainly change the nature of how America is directed. Many of them give lip service to religion, and many of them give lip service to even Jesus Christ, but so many of their other activities do not back up what they say with their mouth. And so, Lord, I pray for these legislators. I pray for these people that are intending outside of the convention this week to do some very, very wicked things. And, Lord, I just pray that you bind Satan's power, There are many children's lives that are at stake. And it's so sad to think that someone would, under their own banner of health treatment, take the life of an unborn child. Lord, that deeply grieves me. It ought to grieve all of us. So, Lord, we pray that you turn that decision made by individuals, turn their heart. May it be from a pregnancy care center that they pass. Perhaps they're able to have an ultrasound and to see that beating heart, to understand that there is a life that's been placed within them. And that life is precious. Lord, may we be in prayer for our nation and however you direct. Thank you for our time together tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together tonight. We will look forward to seeing you Wednesday night in services if you're able to be here in our midweek service, 7 p.m. Reminder, we finish a series this Wednesday night, and we'll see how much you've learned over the course of the last number of weeks and a couple of months now in our study on man-made religion. So be in your place. The test won't be too hard. Maybe your name in the top left corner, date on the top right corner, but it won't be too hard. So don't be nervous. Be in your place. And we've got a couple more weeks of the children's classes, and then looking forward to the fall session with our kids. And they have a great time over the course of the school year with a designated program. And I'm thankful for all the workers that we have in that. Also, reminder that here in the fall months, we'll also have a ladies' Bible study on Wednesday nights. And so excited for that, excited for our next study here in the auditorium. So be back, finish up this Wednesday night, and then a lot happening over the course of the next couple of months. So do be in your place for each and every one of the services. Let's close in a word of prayer. I wish each and every one of you Godspeed this week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time in the Word of God tonight. Would you bless each one as we dismiss? May we go out in the harvest field. And I pray that you'd help us to be strong witnesses for Jesus Christ and strong prayer warriors for the state of our homes, for the state of our nation, and the state of our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah.